Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. The right to life is still an important issue spiritually and politically in our land. You know, Roe versus Wade was overturned. Roe versus Wade, beside the moral implications, was a ridiculous legal ruling. And so it was overturned. Glory to God. But you know, it's basically into the hands of the states now. We have states like Tennessee that make great requirements against allowing somebody to abort a baby. But you know, one of these crazy woke governors, you probably saw it in the news just like I did, just made it legal to abort a pregnancy up to the second the baby's born. So the fight still goes on. I mean, when you stop and think about it, I mean, if that is a human life, then you are killing a human life. Praise God. So we believe in, a lot of people don't realize this, but the New Hope, which was originally the Crisis Pregnancy Center, going back 40 years ago, even their leaders today don't remember this, but Dee Sorensen, a lady that went to our church, she was the head of the Crisis Pregnancy Center. A little bitty one-room office in those days, nothing like what they have today, but we continue to support Right for Life. Can you say amen? Read you this little thing here. I understand, I read this to somebody the other day, and they said, oh, Pastor, when you were gone, Pastor John did something very similar to this. I think it was to the Wednesday night crowd, though. So, anyway, I thought this was, sometimes things are a matter of perspective. Can you say amen? So this is a letter from a college student, a girl, a daughter. This is a letter from a college student to her parents after her first semester at college. All right? So she says, Dear Mom and Dad, I have not made many friends, but I met a boy. He's not going to school and he can't find a job, but he's doing much better now since he's been released from prison. He didn't have a place to live, so he moved in with me. After all, we're going to need a good home for the baby when it comes. Dad, you'll be glad to hear it's a boy. P.S. None of this is true. None of it. But I did get a C in English and a D in humanities, and I need more money. Well, like I said, sometimes things are a matter of perspective. Can you say amen? Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Praise God. Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. This is part 4 of real faith that really works. Praise God. So, of course, we can't go over everything that we've already said, but real faith that really works, part 4. And in Romans chapter 4, verse number 16, it says, Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it's talking about Abraham. Then it says, parenthetically, I have parentheses around the next line, as it is written, I have made you, that's Abraham, this is God talking to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Praise God. Well, as it is written, is found back in Genesis chapter 17. You can go there and just read verses 1 through 6 there. In verse number 5, where God is talking to Abraham, he says, I am Almighty God, which is El Shaddai in the Hebrew. And he keeps saying, I've got a covenant with you. I've got a covenant with you. I've promised, you know, in the past, I promised to bless you, and I promised to multiply you, and I promised to make you a father of many nations. And so God says to him, I'm a covenant, in essence, I'm a covenant-keeping, almighty God, and I call you the father of many nations. I have made you, not going to, but I have made you the father of many nations. Glory to God. And so when Almighty God appeared to Abraham, he was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. And the word Almighty, you know, back in Genesis 17, is the word El Shaddai, which we normally translate as the God who is more than enough. El Shaddai is the God who is more than enough, or he is the all-sufficient one. In other words, there's nothing that you will ever need that he won't supply, that he can't supply, that he hasn't supplied. He will nourish you and he will take care of you. But it's interesting because we just translated El Shaddai, but El Shaddai really has three distinct meanings. El Shaddai means I am the almighty, powerful God. My power is matchless. So he is an all-powerful God. So I actually like the term Almighty God. Sometimes to make a point, you know, to you guys or to whoever I'm preaching to, I'll say, Almighty God, the creator of the universe said, you know. So he is Almighty God. His power is matchless. But then El Shaddai also means that he is faithful. He is a faithful covenant-keeping God. He always keeps his word. He never fails to keep his word. So God has all power, and with his power, he always keeps his word to his covenant people. He made a covenant with Abraham, but you and I have a covenant with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then El Shaddai also very strongly carries the idea of he has the ability to nourish us and provide for us. Just like a mother nourishes her child and takes care of her child and protects her child and provides for her child. Glory to God. So El Shaddai, everybody say El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai, Almighty God, tells Abraham, I will keep my covenant with you. I will provide for you and bless you by my power. And you are the father of many nations, just as I said. See, God's word, what he says, prevails over natural facts and over natural circumstances always. What God's word says always trumps natural facts. Amen. God's power can make anything possible. So it doesn't matter what it looks like or seems like or feels like in the natural, the power of God can override that and change that, and often does. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So when God's power is released, but it's only released when we believe, but when God's power is released, it always trumps, it always changes natural facts and causes them to conform to what he says. Glory to God. So it says here back in verse number 17 of Romans 4, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Now it switches back and is talking about Abraham. It says in the presence of him, that's Abraham, in the presence of him. Now a lot of, depending on what kind of Bible you have, but some cross references in their Bible, instead of saying in the presence of him, they say this literally says, like unto God. See, Abraham was like unto God in that he... Then it says about God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, God calls those things, I like the King James Bible actually here, says God calls those things which be not as though they were. It was not as though Abraham was the father of many nations. He's 99 years old. Sarah is 90. Amen. She's barren. They've never had a child. They cannot have a child. How can you become the father of multitudes or the father of many nations if you don't even have a child? But God said, you are the father of many nations. And how many of you know that Abraham was, in fact, the father of many nations? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Abraham, in the presence of God, or like unto God, believed and called himself the father of many nations. God changed his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude or father of many nations. And every time Abraham introduced himself, he in essence said, I'm the father of many nations. Oh, God, you're crazy. I'm the father of many nations. My name's Abraham, father of many nations. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he believed and called himself the father of many nations, even though in the natural, he can't even have a child. He doesn't even have a child. Much less, how could he ever become the father of many nations? So Abraham believed God's word without or apart from any outward reason to believe it. There was no evidence, no reason for him to believe that he would ever become the father of many nations. But God just didn't say, you will one day become the father of many nations. He said, you are. You are right now the father of many nations. Glory to God. And so no matter, you couldn't figure that out. You don't have to figure it out. You just need to believe what God says. Amen. Let's read on what this says here. So he said, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. That which was spoken was God's word. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. You could translate that, he did not stagger, or he did not doubt. So he did not waver, he did not stagger, he did not doubt at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith or strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Faith is always fully convinced, no doubt. Faith is fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Glory to God. Amen. So listen, one of the greatest things you can ever learn is what God says is. Let that soak in a little bit. What God says is. What he says is right. What he says is true. What he says is real. What he says is final. And real faith, real Bible faith, sees what is real, even though it's unseen, and it believes it so, and it says it so. If you believe what God's word says, you believe it in your heart, and you confess that it's so with your mouth. You have to release your faith, and you release your faith with words. You activate your faith with your words, and you just simply agree with God and say what God says. If God says I'm more than a conqueror, then I am more than a conqueror. My third grade teacher might have not thought I was more than a conqueror, but I am who God says I am, not who my third grade teacher said I was. Glory to God. Amen. What God says is. And see, once we have God's word on our situation, we should not consider anything. Nothing else matters once we have the word of God on the subject. So in the light of divine revelation, in the light of the truth, in the light of the word, in the light of what God says, why consider deceptive circumstances or feelings or emotions? Don't give those things a single thought. Just believe what God's word says. See, the logical thing, the rational thing to do is to believe and confess the word of El Shaddai, Almighty God, and not what our senses tell us. Our feelings and our senses and our emotions are what we can mentally reason out are limited to the natural world. But is all there is, is there something beyond a natural world? Yes, there is a spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, there are spiritual truths and spiritual realities and spiritual principles and spiritual laws. And so if you only know what the natural world says and you don't know what God says revealed to us by His Spirit and through the Word, if you don't know what God says, then you can't make a logical, rational decision because you don't know the whole, you don't see the whole picture, you don't know the whole truth. It's foolish just to base what you believe and what you think and how you act on what your senses tell you because they only relate to this natural world, but there is a spiritual world. God is real, angels are real, heaven are real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The devil is real. Demon spirits are real. And spiritual truths and spiritual realities are real. See, there is. Everybody say there is. There is. Another realm, see. Beyond this natural world, there is an unseen but very real spiritual world. And like I said, to ignore the spiritual world and what it says and to ignore its principles and laws will cause you to come to wrong conclusions and to believe things that are not true every time. It'd be like I said, okay, I want you to make a decision. There's 10 things you need to know to make a decision, but I'm only going to give you five of them. And so I give you five bits of information. You need 10, but I give you five, and you make a decision. I say, now let me give you the other five. And you go, oh, I made the wrong decision. I couldn't make the right decision until I knew all of it, see? And so when you only know what the world says and what your senses tell you, because it only relates to what it sees, touches, feels, smells, tastes, you know, then you don't know the whole truth. Everybody says, I want the truth, the whole truth. The truth. You know, what was that? The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, an enemy king, you remember the story. An enemy king sends an army. Now, if you go back and read 2 Kings 6, it says an enemy king sent a great army. A great army. An enemy king sent a great army, glory to God, to arrest Elisha. And, you know, they were probably gonna kill him. So they said this great army sends him to arrest Elijah. And so they surrounded, they besieged, they encamped around where Elisha lived. And so Elisha's servant gets out the next morning, goes outside, and he sees this giant army, this great army, horses and chariots and all these mighty men of valor. You know, they have warriors just like Israel had warrior coming to get Elisha. And, of course, he's Elisha's servant, so he's not going to fare too well, you know. And so he runs in and he says, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" One translation said, "Alas, we're doomed. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They've come to kill us. They're all out there, an entire army." And Elijah looked at him, didn't even go outside and look. He said, "Don't be afraid." Why would he say not be afraid? Because the word of God from the beginning of time had told his people, "Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear the enemy, do not fear the enemy. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't fear the enemy. I am with you, I am on your side. They will not overwhelm you, they will not overtake you. Do not be afraid." See, when you know what the word of God says, then you are seeing into the realm of the Spirit. And so he said, "Don't be afraid." And then he said, "Those who be with us are more than be with them." And so Elijah's servant went, 1, 2. And he looked out, and there was a great army surrounding them. Well, now, you see, it didn't look like it. It didn't. I mean, anybody could see they were surrounded by a great army. And any single one of those soldiers could easily kill both of them, just easily. Logic says, what you can see says, mental reason says, panic, fear, run, we're doomed, it's hopeless, our lives are over. So in 2 Kings 6:17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes that he may see." Well, he wants him to see into the spiritual world. Amen. He wants him to see the whole picture and not just what his physical eyes reveal to him. And so it says, "Now, Lord, open the eyes of the young man." And he saw, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there's this heavenly army up there filled with heavenly angels. Now, you can read one time in the Old Testament where one angel by himself killed 185,000 people. It doesn't say he couldn't kill just one of them. So the reality of the matter was there was nothing for them to be afraid of. Now, it looked like they ought to be afraid. It seemed like they ought to be afraid. Well, according to what you could see, they were doomed. But they were not doomed. There was a much, much, a billion times greater, a billion, billion times greater army was surrounding them to protect them and to keep them safe. That army couldn't do one single thing to them. Well, Elisha knew that. Amen. He knew he could not be arrested. He knew he could not be hurt. And he knew he could not be killed. But not because of what his mind told him, but because of the word of God told him and because of what the Spirit of God told him. See? Oh, glory to God. You couldn't know what Elisha knew. Elisha. You couldn't know what Elisha knew by what you saw. Glory to God. Elisha knew he was protected because God in his word had already said, or better, revealed to him. For instance, and this is just one place. You can go back to Genesis where it says all of these, where it says over and over again, you know, "I'll protect you, I'll take care of you." But in Psalms 27, which was written about 150 years before this incident happened, Psalm 27 says, "Even though an enemy army encamp against you and surround you and is deployed against you, don't be afraid, be confident. Realize it can't hurt you. They will fall, not you. They will not devour you. You will stand and you will overcome." And that's just one verse. That's just one scripture. But you could not see this spiritual army protecting him. You could not see it. You could not know it was there except by revelation. And whatever the word of God says to you is a revelation. When God's word says you're more than a conqueror, that's a revelation. When God's word says you're forgiven, that's a revelation. When God's word says you are healed, that's a revelation. When God's word says he supplies all your needs, richly supplies all your needs, that's a revelation. But you could not know that by just what you could see. Amen. I mean, we could go back in time, we could take the best scientists of the world, we could bring the most sophisticated instruments ever known to man in the history of the world. Set up all your instruments and tell us that you can find this invisible spiritual army that's protecting Elisha. And they could do all their stuff and they'd go, there is no army there. There is no army there. You cannot see them. We've got microscopes and instrumentation that'll see a million times into the... We can do atomic studies. We can do every kind of test ever known to man. And according to what our instruments tell us, according to science, there is no army there. But was there an army there? Absolutely. They would be 1,000,000% wrong. Amen. It was there. Glory to God. When Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who knows and sees everything, who is all powerful, who sees the future, who knows what we don't know, when he says you are free, when he says you are blessed, when he says you are healed, when he says no sin has dominion over you, when he says that tithing and giving done in faith because you honor me and because you're looking to me as your source and you're trusting for me to provide for you, when he says when you do that it will cause you it will lead you to abundance, when he says you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you, that is the truth. That is the truth. What God says is. And we should believe it and say it so, regardless of what our minds or senses tell us. Because there's many times in life our mind will say that's not true. And our senses will say that's not true. And our circumstances will say that's not true. And the devil will say it's not true. But what God says is true. Amen. And it's illogical not to believe what God says. Yet, let me say it this way. To believe what we see and think over what God says is beyond absurd. It's beyond ridiculous. It ignores God. It ignores his power. It ignores what he knows that we don't know. Yet, symptoms and what we can see and what we can feel and what contradicts what God's word tells us can be extremely unpleasant. Extremely distracting. You've tried to believe God, worship God, and believe what God says you're healed, that there's pain going in your body? That's unpleasant. That's distracting. The devil, you know, you it looks like you're going to lose everything financially. That's upsetting. That's distracting. That's alarming. That's serious. That's challenging. That's painful. Contradictory circumstances and problems can put a tremendous amount of pressure on us to doubt and get in fear. And to open our mouths and say all kinds of things we should not say. That's why we just read it here in Romans 14 that it said Abraham was not weak in faith. He did not waver at the promise of God. Why? Because he did not consider his own body. He did not consider those things. If you consider those things and look at those things and focus your attention on those things, they will overwhelm you every single time. So Abraham did not consider the fact of his body already dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, the only way to overcome disturbing, distracting, alarming, negative circumstances and symptoms, the only way to not consider them, amen, is by, in other words, this is how you do it, the only way to not consider the circumstances is to focus your mind and attention on what God said. In other words, the Word of God just doesn't tell us not to consider the circumstances. It also tells us what to consider. And it says, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of your faith. Amen? So I'm going to turn my back on what I can see. I'm not going to consider that. I'm not just ignoring it won't make it go away. I'm not going to consider it. I'm going to turn and I'm going to put the Word of God before my eyes and I'm going to read what it says and focus on what it says and look on what it says and consider His power and consider His faithfulness, His covenant-keeping promises. I'm going to consider what He says and focus my attention on what He says. That's the only way to overcome contradictory circumstances, especially ones that put tremendous pressure on you. Amen? Amen. Now watch this, because I got to thinking about this. You know, considering the circumstances, we read that and they say, yeah, God told that to Abraham. God's told that to us since the beginning of time. In different words. Every time he said, fear not, he was saying, don't look at the enemy. I am with you. Look at me. Pay attention to me. He's grabbing us by the ears and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. He told the Israelites, they're great. Their armies are better. But don't look at that. He's in essence saying, don't consider that. Look at me. Every time the Bible said, trust in the Lord, he's saying, consider me. Every time the Bible says, wait on the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word wait on the Lord can almost always be translated, wait in faith on the Lord. In other words, it doesn't look like it's working. Doesn't seem like it's working. Doesn't feel like it's working. But you wait in faith. Pay attention to me. Look at me. Remember your covenant. Remember the promises. Wait on me. Be courageous. Why is he saying be courageous? Because you've got things out there that are threatening you and that are alarming, that are denying that God is on your side, that he's protecting you from your enemy, that he's taking care of you. So be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Look to me. Why did you doubt? Look to Jesus. Don't look at things that can be seen. Look at things that are eternal. Put my word before your eyes. Keep them before your eyes. You know, guard your heart. Put my word first. Cast down wrong imagination. Hundreds and hundreds of scriptures are in essence saying, do not consider the circumstances. That's the only way to overcome. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's how you consider not the circumstances. And it's the only way. I mean the only way you can overcome the pressure that symptoms and circumstances bring on you. Abraham didn't consider the circumstances. His mind was on his covenant-keeping God. He believed God, and he said, I am the father of many nations. See, real faith means we believe God's word in our hearts. We don't doubt, and we are to say what we believe. It's really simple. Faith simply believes what God says and says what God says. Glory to God. And when we do that, we call those things that be not as though they were. I was, you know, last week we had Todd Bailey here. The Sunday before that, I preached part two of this message. And I really got into calling those things that be not as though they were and talking about that a little bit. Well, that was Sunday. On Thursday before that Sunday, I went to bed and I could not get comfortable because I just had pain in my neck and area here and in my shoulder. Now when I say pain on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't mean it was a 9 or 10, but it wasn't a 1 or 2, it was like a 5 or 6. So it hurt, you know. And so, you know, you're tired and you want to go to sleep, but there was no position I could get. Believe me, I tried every position known to man. There was no position I could get in that bed where I wasn't aware of it and it didn't hurt. And so I finally just got up, because if I'm standing up, you know, I'm not moving my neck either way, But I want to go to bed. You know, I want to go to sleep. And so I lay down on the couch and lay back in the you know, I've got one of those lounge chairs where you can adjust it every way imaginable. You know, you can make the back go up and down. You can make the head go up and down. You can make the foot go up and down. You can make it the lumbar go up and down. And I'm pushing every button on there, and it still hurts. It just hurts. And so finally I got sort of halfway on my side lying on the couch, And I said, well, I started meditating on scriptures, you know, healing scriptures and so forth. Of course, I got my mind off of it. And I got a little relief and went on to sleep. But that went on that night, Friday night, Saturday night. I preached that message Sunday morning. I went to my mother's house to check on her in McClinney, Florida. We're staying at her house. When we stay at her house, there's things we need to do. She's got three trees out there that we've trimmed them all back, and they're about this tall, but their base is this big. And, you know, I got a chainsaw, and I need to clean all that up. You know, well, it's 97 degrees, and my neck feels like it's about to fall off. So Tuesday morning, I woke up, and I'm half asleep and half awake. You know, sometimes when you're half asleep, you can, and your body's all quiet, and your mind's all quiet. Sometimes you can hear better from the Lord right then. And I heard in my spirit, like, why don't you call your neck free of pain? And I thought, well, Lord, I can't say that because it's not free of pain. I'd be lying. But what about calling those things that be not as though they were? Well, I know, but you know, you have to realize that going way, way back, when the faith message was really hot and heavy, people would say some things that were goofy and that were not true. In other words, if I got a bump on my arm, you know, that is caused by a disease that's really serious. And I say, glory to God, I'm healed. Glory to God, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Somebody says, oh, that bump's gone away. And I said, I didn't say the bump was gone away. If I said the bump was gone away, I'd be lying. I'm saying in spite of the bump, I am healed. But nonetheless, so, you know, sometimes people would misunderstand and say some things they shouldn't say. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God is saying to me, why don't you call your neck pain free? So I've got a word from Him. And I sit there thinking about it. Well, you know, Isaiah 53:4 says, surely He hath borne our sicknesses. Surely He's bore, carried, taken away, lifted off of us, took upon Himself. You know, if I take something for Him, then you don't have it anymore. And if He bore it, then I need not bear it. And I have no problem saying, by His stripes I'm healed, regardless of any symptoms, regardless of any doctor's reports, regardless of any test reports that say I have cancer. I say, bless God, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. That's calling those things that be not as though they were. Well, it goes on to say, surely He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. So there's an exact, He carried my pains. So I just thought, well, don't argue with the Spirit of God. I said, praise God, I don't have any pain. I am pain free. See, because of this time, not only is my neck hurt, it's moved down into my shoulder, it's moved down into my lower back, and all of a sudden my lower back, right at where it's creased there, it all lit up and it was in pain. And my foot, my heel was in pain. And so I said, bless God, I believe. See, I believe. That means you believe it's true because God's Word said it's true, not because you feel like it's true. I said, I believe I am pain-free. I don't have any pain in my neck, in my shoulder, in my back, in my lower back, or in my heel. And just in a few hours, all of it left. Now, you know, there'd be tinges of it here and there for the next week or so, but just a tinge, you know, I just resist that and stand against that. And sometimes I think, well, I was so tensed up for so many days, I think it was just sore at this point. And I went out there and cut that one tree I cut down, you know, because my brother mows my mother's grass, and it's 5 acres full of grass, 5 acres full, you know. And so I didn't want him to have to go around it since the tree's gone. I wanted to get it all smooth and level. Well, a couple of them, they were so old that they didn't have much root. But this one had, you know, roots on top of roots. I'm down on my hands and knees in 97 degree weather with a shovel, digging in it, cutting it, pulling it up, tugging it, pulling it. And I pulled up a whole wheelbarrow full of roots. Pain-free, glory to God. Hand me my phone right there, Margaret. Glory to God. Well, that's calling those things that be not as though they were. I don't have any pain. Jesus bore my pains. Well, if He bore it, there's no sense in me bearing it. Glory to God. Well, about that same time, I got a text from my son-in-law, Doug. I read this Wednesday night, but I want to read it again. And this goes back to like the very first when we taught on this. And my son-in-law, Doug, tells me, glory to God. See if we can do this right. He said, on July 29th, I hurt my back. Now, mind you, I was doing nothing I shouldn't be doing. We were just doing yard work. Heather was mowing, I was weeding. I was just, you know, doing nothing strenuous, just walking. All of a sudden, my lower back just went out and got in tremendous pain. It was an icky feeling that involved pain, a lot of pain. I did what I'm supposed to do. Immediately said, no, bless God, I'm not injured. I prayed, Lord, I'm not abusing my body. I'm being studious with the land You gave me. I accept Your strength and healing. He says, I was about 20% better. That was a Wednesday. I was off. I did what I'm supposed to do. And so it's Wednesday. You know, I'm playing on the praise and worship team, and healed people are supposed to go to church. I promised to pray on the praise and worship team, so I'm going. Make no mistake about it. At this particular point in time, I'm in a sickening amount of pain. I go in faith, no better. Over the next few days, I stay in faith. I really do. Well, sort of. I'm kind of babying my back and not intentionally doing the things I would normally do, and I'm taking ibuprofen and just giving my body natural time to heal. In the meantime, I may groan, and you know, Heather says, what's wrong? And I say, all caps, I say, my back hurts. Later, Heather asks, is your back hurting? I say, it has my full attention. The next day, it's no better. Heather asks, how's your back? I say, it hurts. Later in the day, Heather asks, when I sigh, is your back hurting? I say, all the time. Well, do you get what you say? The next day, Heather asks again. I say, it hurts all the time. I can't get comfortable. You understand, as a teacher and human, I've actually done the initial steps of faith, and I'm actually fully rooted and accepted of my healing, and I'm at peace with that. But I'm sure you already see the problem. So Sunday rolls around. First thing in the morning, I can barely get out of bed. There's talk of whether or not I should go to church. I say, well, I'm slated to play praise and worship, and I went to Lowe's and Walmart yesterday, so I'm not going to use this as an excuse not to go. Praise God. Healed people go to church. So I go. No better. I'm playing praise and worship and can barely stand. My guitar feels like I'm wearing a car. It's Sunday, August 2nd, and you're teaching faith that really works. I usually go upstairs where Heather's teaching, you know, but I decided to sit in the service. Brother, all caps, I am hurting. I'm 5 ibuprofen in and standing and walking in a very deliberate way. I remember thinking that you were teaching faith in reverse. Most time, teaching is compelling believers to believe and trust God and learn the truth. Your angle was different. It spoke more to veteran Christians that do actually know and believe. But what are you saying? Man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I had done all the proper steps for faith. What had I said for 5 days? I started immediately that day saying, my back is strong. My back doesn't hurt unless I abuse it. My back is straight. My back is cushioned. If I was asked how my back was doing, I'd say it's better. If I was asked again, it's better. It's better than it was. It's getting better all the time. By now, that 20% results I got from praying initially had been gone for a couple of days, and it was as bad, if not worse, than the initial pain. By the end of Sunday, I was 40% better. All day long, the next day in my patrol car, I was another 10% better. The next day, I served a high-risk search warrant and worked all day, still talking to myself along the car. By the end of the day, another 10% better. The next day, I brought privacy fence and dug holes in the yards by hand, saying all the time out loud, I have stuff to do. I'm not injured. My body is healed. Glory to God. On and on and on. It does what it's supposed to do. By the end of that day, I'm another 10% better, even after digging holes. As you can see, those numbers don't add up to 100%, but I'm getting there in a hurry. I can't help but feel like if I had couples speaking with the initial 20%, this would have been gone long ago. Praise God. Side note, I've worked a lot in my yard. I mean a lot. My left elbow was in extreme discomfort from overwork. My fault. During all this, I didn't even put the same effort into getting it healed, just put up with it. But as I continued to speak over the whole healed, straight, limber, strong body, somewhere along the line, that elbow was fixed too. I don't even know when. That's the truth. I just kind of forgot about it. Anyway, that's my mile-long story. Just wanted to share it with you. Yeah. Well, now, but here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting. That was a couple of weeks ago, you know, then Todd Bailey was, that was one, then I did two, then Todd Bailey was with us. And then Wednesday night, I preached part two of this. Well, Wednesday night, Will Carter was here. Megan works for us. I pointed over there because he was sitting right over there. He was in his deputy sheriff's uniform. He had just got off work. And Megan is one, you know, she grew up in this church, but they haven't come here as an adult, and she's one of our teachers in our school. And Will will tell you, he's never been exposed to any kind of teaching like this. Very seldom, 2 or 3 times been in a Pentecostal church in his life, a Word of Faith church, and that's when he happened to be here. And so they're here Wednesday night. He's in his uniform. And you know, he heard me tell that testimony about Doug. Well, you know, Doug is older than Will. Doug is a lieutenant. Will just made corporal. Congratulations, Will. And Doug is, you know, he respects Doug. He's his supervisor. He likes Doug, you know, and he respects him. And so he sent Doug this text and said, send this to Pastor Mark. He said, now listen to this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I lost it and I got to get it. You all right out there? Yes. Wednesday night, I had worked all day wearing a Kevlar vest. That's their bulletproof vest. Those things are, if you talk to them, they're heavy and they can be itchy and sweaty and all that. It was fine. Up until I came to church after work, sitting there in his uniform, as I sat down, when Pastor Mark started preaching, my left tricep near my shoulder began to itch horribly. I wasn't even thinking about the poison ivy. I just went to scratch and felt a huge welt. Did I leave out part of that? Okay, let me get there. So this past Monday, I was doing yard work, cleaning out a fence row at my neighbor's house. It was the day the heat index was like 110. I made a rookie mistake and wore a cutoff shirt sleeve while weeding. I was just about done when it hit me. I had been weed eating poison ivy for an hour and a half. Wrapped up all around the bush and around the fence. I immediately thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. When I get poison ivy, it typically starts small and quickly spreads like wildfire until I have to go to the doctor. It's absolutely awful. I'm extremely allergic to poison ivy. I can just look at the stuff and get it. And here I was, 1.5 hours into weed eating, and I'd been slinging it all over my arms, shoulders, back, neck, face. I went home and showered as soon as I could. And that's when he said, then I went to work and wore that Kevlar vest all day, went to church. All of a sudden, I realized I was itching, glory to God, and I was itching horribly during the service. I wasn't even thinking about the poison ivy. I just went to scratch and felt a huge welt. And as I sat there, I thought, oh no, here we go. So as Pastor Mark was preaching, I was squirming in my seat like a child. The itching was getting worse and worse, spreading to my back and the rest of my left arm. He got to the part of the message where he changed from I am healed to I am pain free. He read your story of how you had hurt your back, and both stories resonated with me. When I walked out of the church, I was miserable due to the itching. I got in my car and began declaring. Now, he's never even heard that terminology. He said, but I began to declare, I will not itch. Can you have what you say? He said, I will not itch, and this will not spread. That's what he said. This person who's never heard one message along these lines. I will not itch. This will not stretch. I felt silly because I was not just in pain, but really itchy. I just felt silly. The whole ride home, I just kept repeating it over and over and over and over. Man, the time I got home, I had a huge welt on my back of my arm, one on top of my shoulder, two very large welted areas on my back, and several small spots on my arm. However, I did not itch. Amen. 2 days later, and I'm still not itching. Amen. It did not spread. It stayed confined. I'm treating it to dry it out, but it does not itch, and it did not spread. When I started out as me, what started out as me feeling silly over something so small taught me a valuable lesson that I will forever be grateful for. I always knew God could do things like that, but something like that had never happened to me. I had never experienced anything like that. It was incredible. Noble Hayes was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in Canada. He was up there. They were all praising. The music's loud and blaring, and people are singing and praising and shouting. There's a man on the front row. He's come to have Norval lay hands on him, you know, let Norval do it. He's in a wheelchair, and the different reasons people are in a wheelchair, but you can visibly see that his legs are twisted up. And the Lord spoke to Norval and said, go tell that man if he would call his legs well, if he would call his legs straight, they would straighten out. If he would call his legs straight. See, they're not straight. They don't look straight. They don't seem straight. They don't feel straight. They're not straight. But real faith calls those things that be not as though they were. And the Lord spoke to Norval. So he's got the Spirit of God. Said, go tell him if he would call his legs straight, they would straighten out. So Norval went down there and got in his ear, you know, because it's so loud, and spoke to him. Men didn't even acknowledge Norval. You know, he said, the Lord told me to tell you, if you would call your legs straight, they would straighten out. Said the man just looked straight ahead, didn't act like he wasn't even there. Said, the Lord told me to tell you. Said it to him 3 or 4 times. Finally, the man kind of looked at him, you know, like he don't want to hear that. You just wave your hand over me and do something magic, make me heal. No, the Lord told me to tell you, if you would call your legs straight, they would straighten out. So finally, the little man said, I'll call my legs straight. Noble said, that won't do. That won't work. You got to say it out loud. You got to say it like you mean it. I'll call my legs straight. No, that won't work. That won't work. You say out loud. Say it like you mean it. Call it like you mean it. Do you know the word call over there where it says call, he calleth those things that be not as though they were, he calls those things that be not as though they were? The word calls there literally means to say it with a commanding, loud voice of authority. And so Norval kept working with him and working for him, and finally the man began to say it a little louder, I call my legs well, I call my legs straight, 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 I call my legs straight. That went on for about 10 minutes, and the man jumped up with totally straight legs and totally healed by the power of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Amen. Faith simply believes what God says. What God says about you is true. Faith simply believes what God says is true, and it says what God says about it. Glory to God. Amen. Say this, say this. Say, I look into the spiritual realm by faith. And I say, I see myself totally healed. Say that again. I see myself totally healed. I see myself. I see myself pain free. I see myself victorious and blessed. I see my business blessed. Stop imagining it going under. Stop imagining bad things. Start imagining the opposite. Start imagining what God says about you. Say it. Say, I see every need. Abundantly supplied. I see myself free. I see myself blessed. I see myself with a sound mind. Now stand up on your feet. Praise God. See, when you call those things that be not as though they were, you're saying, I believe, without any physical proof, but because I have God's word, I believe it's so. And when you believe it's so and say it's so, according to Mark 11, 23, then it will be so. So say this, say, I call myself.
I call myself.
I call myself.
I call myself.
Healed and whole.
Healed and whole.
I call myself.
Pain free.
Say that one again. I call myself
pain
free in Jesus' name. I call every body part healed and pain free. I call myself financially blessed. I am free. I am healed. I am delivered. I am delivered from demonic oppressive thoughts. I am right now. Totally free, totally healed, totally delivered. I am who God says I am. Now shout about that just a little bit because you believe it. Shout about it just a little bit. Praise God. Praise God. And thank God. Thank God. Say thank you, Father, it's true. Thank you, it's true. Thank you, I am. Thank you, I am. Thank Him. Shout about it and thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I mean, if Will Carter can come in here and hear it one time, never heard it before in his life and get results, how much more should you get results? Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Glory to God. Somebody sang a song one time. It's so good to be healed. It's so good to be healed. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you call yourself pain-free? Lord, I can't do that. I'd be like, wait. Faith calls those things that be not. Calls those things that be not. I'm calling it by faith. I didn't say I didn't have it, but by faith I'm saying I'm pain-free. And what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth comes to pass. You can, as you've heard, you can have what you say when you believe it in your heart. So we're not only going to watch our words and make sure we don't say anything that contradicts what Jesus has done for us, but we're going to make sure that we release our faith by saying what we believe in our heart. Not just sitting there saying, I believe it, I believe it, I agree with it, I agree with it, I believe it. No, we release our faith, we activate our faith by saying what God says about us. Again, faith simply believes what God says and says what God says, and you say it boldly and you say it loudly. And you say it like you mean it because you do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I kept thinking about one aspect of the word call that I had looked up one time. And so I just wanted to put this out there, and maybe it'll help you a little bit better, you know, help us all. But, I mean, have you ever been blessed enough to have a dog that would come when you called it?
Ooh, glory.
Ooh. I've had the other kind, too. Anyway, you know, if you went out in your yard, there's no dog around anywhere. But if you call it, it's going to come. If you call it, it's going to come. So when you're calling myself healed, when you're calling healing, you're calling it from another realm into you. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he'll quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. So, you know, it's not strange to call something that be not as though it was. You're calling it to come. You're calling it to come. You're calling it to come. I mean, you go out and call your dog. You don't feel stupid, do you? It's going to come. You're calling it because it's going to come. So when we call those things that be not as though they were, we're calling it. You're coming. We call it to come. Amen. So, you know, just call it. I'm calling it, and it comes. Amen.
Amen. That's good, Margie. Thank you. Amen. 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 Praise God. Yeah, that's good. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to make one more confession. You know, when it comes to being overcoming some sinful habit or overcoming any sin, you know, you do have the flesh to contend with. So the Word of God says, makes it very, very clear that sin has no dominion over you. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Jesus came to undo or to destroy any work of the devil in my life. So sin absolutely has no power over your life. But now say this. Say, I'm not obligated, to the flesh. I'm not a debtor to the flesh. I don't have to obey its impulses. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Mulling over if I should share or not, but so I had a bad attitude on the first day that you preached this, and I was like, oh, faith message, I've heard this, I've grew up in this church, and I was like, oh, here we go, you know, bad attitude. Lord convicted me, and I was like, oh geez, I was and I got nothing out of that service at all. And the Lord convicted me, and I was like, well, Lord, forgive me. That was awful. You should be able to get anything. Doesn't matter if you've read the same verse 1,000 times. It should still minister to you, you know? So I came in the second time that you were preaching this, and you said it was Romans 8:11 talking about the spirit within us. And the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is within us. And it was like, and I text you this, but it was like it came alive to me in a different way. And it was just like I had this visual. It's silly. But it's from, like, Spider-Man, where the spider bites him, right? And it goes and changes, like, all of the DNA and everything. And it was, like, that's what, in my mind, it was, like, oh, wow, like, my DNA, like, I am a new creation, and the spirit is within me. Well, that week, I was, like, okay, it's time to get to work, because I just felt really convicted about some things. Just some, like, inflammation things that I've been dealing with about a year ago. I was looking for some answers, and I feel like I got answers for some stuff that I've been dealing with, and I was excited about it because I was like, okay, this makes sense. But instead, as the year had gone on, it went from like, oh, I have answers, to this is now what I deal with, and this is who I am. And so it was, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't eat that. Oh, yeah, that causes me to have a flare-up. Oh, da, da, da. And it was getting worse and worse. And so I think it was this past month, like, I mean, Caleb can attest to this. Like, I was dealing with vertigo. I almost fell down the steps twice just from being so dizzy. And I was just like, well, this, you know, I got to do better. But it convicted me that morning. And I was like, I don't have to deal with this. What is wrong with you? Like, I was like, I know better than this. And so this, since that week where I actually had a different attitude, what I've been doing is when I start feeling those symptoms coming on, I've just been saying, Lord, no, I thank you, Father, that my body does exactly what it's, and specifically, I thank you, Lord, that my cells activate in the way that they need to, that I don't have an abundance of mast cells. I have exactly the way that you created my body to be and created my body to do. And it's been better and better and better and better. And honestly, like, we just went out of town. We were eating all of these things we don't normally eat. And typically, I would feel awful by the end of the day, like, absolutely awful. And did you know I was fine. I was totally fine. And it all started with my mouth. I started speaking to my body and saying, no, you line up and you do what you're supposed to do. Even just a little, this last little thing. While we were there, I started dealing with this like flare up on my face, like a dermatitis type thing. And was looking up some stuff, like maybe it's allergic reaction, whatever. But I saw it had to do with inflammation. So that night, it was Friday night, I was like, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this inflammation stops, that my body is not inflamed, that my body calms down, and I wake up, and this is better. And would you know that I woke up that morning, and this was like, it was still a little red, but it wasn't raised up, and it wasn't inflamed. And it was like, man, wouldn't you know that this works? That's crazy. I can't believe that this works. Wow.
Everybody say, thank God for the better. Thank God for the better. Praise God. Well, go and be doers of the word you heard. Can you say amen? God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.